Now, I want to again congratulate Miss Shalane Flanagan for such an outstanding performance in that New York City Marathon. Now, I want us to, as I mentioned a little earlier, join together, heart to heart, mind to mind, as we really, really go in depth looking at the problem of sexual conduct and misconduct in America. And I want to start out by asking you to think with me outside the box. And here's how I perceive the box. The box, basically, when it comes to sexual conduct in America, the box is one that basically says males are the only ones who have interest in sex. And not only that, but males are the only ones who perpetrate sexual misconduct. And so we've got to deal with this problem of male sexual misconduct in America. Let me share with you again now. And think about it. And what I'm saying now is the box, as it has to do with what is normally said and written. What do Americans normally say about sex and sexual conduct or misconduct in America? And for the most part, we've been told for decades that men are the ones who have the interest in sex. And one of the ways that some people put it, particularly some of the females put it, whether young or old, they like to say that men think with their penises. I'm saying it a little bit more. You know, I'm watering it down a bit. I'm trying to, you know, be a little bit kinder than a lot of the women who actually make those statements. But you see where they are with that. Men think with their penises, and you get into discussions with people, and not just with women, but with men too. And the whole thing is, if there is any interest in sex, it is on the part of that male, whether that male is 13, 19, or 79, the interest, the sexual interest is on the part of the male. And he's going to be the one who is going to initiate sexual activity. And when it comes to sexual misconduct, that is a problem that is uniquely a male problem. And so, and think about sexual misconduct in the various ways that we've heard it expressed or described: rape, sexual harassment, the different ways that someone can misbehave sexually. And I want us to just ask, to start out by asking ourselves, is the thinking that goes on inside the box an accurate portrayal of what actually takes place in America when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to sexual conduct, when it comes to sexual misconduct? Now, please don't misunderstand what I've asked you. I'm not asking you if it helps you feel better as a man or as a woman to say when it comes to sexual misconduct, the perpetrator is always going to be a male. Or even to say when it comes to sexual misconduct, the perpetrator usually will be a male. Think about this now. Think about it. I really want us to think about this broadly, very, very broadly. We'll have to think about it broadly if we're going to think about it accurately. Think about this now. When it comes to sexual misconduct, one of the ways that misconduct is portrayed is through rape. That's just one of a number of ways that sexual misconduct is enacted, acted out, carried out through rape. But notice this now. We have forcible rape where the two people involved, let's just say two, let's just simplify it to just two individuals. And from the very beginning, one is saying, hey, once it's understood that the other person that they're with wants sex, the other person says, no, I'm not interested. And from the very beginning all the way through to the end, no, I don't want this. But the person who does want the sexual contact forces the matter. So that's one form of rape. How about the rape that takes place when a person has been drugged and they have no ability to resist? I mean, absolutely no ability to resist the person who is making the sexual moves because they've been drugged. Now, here's the reason I point that out, the latter part. The person has been drugged, and so they're not able to put up any resistance. And maybe that drug may be having such a powerful impact on them that they don't even realize anything has taken place until after the fact. They become conscious again. They wake up, and they become aware that something has taken place. They look around. They feel in their body that something has happened, and they figure it out fairly quickly. My reason for pointing that out is this. I want us to remember what we all know, that not all rape is forcible rape perpetrated against someone who's putting up resistance. Not all unwanted sexual activity, even if it's not considered rape, is forcible sex. Sometimes drugs may be involved. At other times, simple pressure. It's obvious the person does not want this to happen, but the pressure keeps on until the person gives up. The person gives in unwillingly. They still don't want it, but they give in to the pressure. They still have no desire, but they give in to the pressure. They give in to the pressure of the pressure. And from beginning to end, they're hating what is happening. Males can do that to males. Females can do that to females. And that does happen. Sometimes you have a group of people pressuring one person to give in and do this anyway. Females can do that to females. Males can do it to males. Males can do that to females. Can females put that kind of pressure on males? Let's continue this discussion tomorrow. America and sexuality, sexual misconduct, sexual conduct, right here on Speaking With Yours Truly.